When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it. Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're wrapping up the 2024 NFL Draft from the Rams' perspective, of course. Right now, I have Paul Walia on board. What's going on, Paul?
Doing great. An exciting draft. Great storylines all around, and the Rams did a solid job.
Yeah, and for everyone's awareness, we are recording this. It's in the middle of the seventh round. The Rams have not made their last pick. When they do, I will update my information here and we'll share that. Maybe we'll predict it right before this pick happens. We are obviously following along. And I may have some other folks join in the middle of this. Let's talk about this draft. So you missed yesterday, but we'll get back to some of the day one and day two picks. Let's focus on day three. And that first pick, here, let me share my information on that fifth round pick, number 154 overall, Brandon Jackson, the edge rusher out of Washington State. And solid pick. And we had talked about this guy. Let me take a step back here and let me frame this because we are texting about this. If there is two themes to this draft, the first theme is, the Rams are drafting grown-ass serious men that want to come in and play football from snap to snap and no messing around. And the other theme is defense. And Brandon Jackson fits both of those, right? And I was a little surprised that they went edge again. But, hey, you know, I think the Rams must have been actually pretty surprised that he was still there, right, in the fifth round.
Yeah, and if his name sounds familiar, he was a Puka power pick. We had just done our third installment, and we made not only have we mocked him three times, we made sure to highlight him because he is a rock-solid prospect. And I think your summary's spot on. He is, and I'll just summarize this very simply as the text I sent to you. So as soon as he gets drafted, I'm excited because I love him as a prospect. I go on Rams website, and they have his little snippet of his phone conference. So he gets asked, you know, give us a little summary of what it was like when the Rams called you. What did you say? He said, when should I report? That says it all. That says it all. This is the type of player you're getting. First of all, he's huge. He's a very solid pass rusher, can bull rush, can bend the edge, as we talked about last time on our segment. But, you know, everything that he brings to the table, he wears the C. He's a team player. He loves the game of football. He's just a positive presence all around. He's going to fit in perfectly. And like he said, you know, coming into that room, which is a crowded edge rusher room, he said competition only makes everyone better. And, you know, everything he said in that probably about a minute and a half that I watched, just to me, perfect fit for the Rams.
Yeah, and that quote I have there for those listeners, I have a quote shared on the screen here. One of the scouts said he may have been a general manager for one of the AFC teams, plays as hard as anyone in conference in the Pac-12 he's talking about. And, you know, you have to wonder, the Rams have drafted so many guys, and Field Yates kind of said it. He said, you know, the Rams are not really paying attention to measurables, and they're not over-scrutinizing tape and scouting combine performances. They're drafting football players. They're looking at the tape and they're drafting players and they're drafting guys that want to get in and start competing. And it's one of those things, like, I wonder if all these rookies are going to be competing to see who's first in every morning. You know, who's the guy that's there at 6 o'clock, and then the next morning someone's going to be there at 5:45 in the weight room getting ready. This is a really impressive draft class from that perspective. All these top picks, and we'll talk about some of these other guys, they all fit this bill to some degree. Just guys that you want in your locker room, right?
Yeah, I mean, Blake Corum is a great example. When they were interviewing him about, you know, and just compare his interview with a lot of the other young kids that are being interviewed. And they're not kids, obviously, but he's already talking about winning a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You got to love it. You know, in the 2 or 3 minutes he's there, they're asking him all these questions, and he's already talking about winning a Super Bowl. This is exactly what we were talking about. This draft class is two words, no nonsense. Yeah. You know, they, like you said, they threw out the measurables. They threw out the combine data. They said, let's bring in guys that have done it on the field, that bring the work ethic, you know, bring that Puka mindset that we've been talking about, right? And they're going to bring that into the locker room. They're going to build upon what we've already established. Blake Corum is an example of that. Brennan Jackson is an example of that. You know, everybody that they select, Jared Verse is an example of that. If your boy Fisk is an example of that. So I think
Jordan, yeah, Whittington is too.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I went in and found in our mock draft when we had talked about Jordan Whittington. And, for those, you know, Ram Nation, for those of you, just a little bit of background on him, he used to play running back, an incredible yak machine, big physical wide receiver that likes to block. So, I mean, once again, he just fits in. You know, he's a great team player, never complained about getting the rock when he was at Texas. All he cared about was winning. So,
yeah, and someone had said that, getting back to Blake Corum, I don't know who it was, one of the evaluators, I think it was on ESPN, said that in all his years covering college football, Blake Corum is the most impressive young man he's ever been associated with, something to that degree. And he, that's a pretty high compliment, you know. We got some good ones. So we go edge, and then we go defensive tackle, and then we went, let's go back and look at this. I don't want to get this wrong here. We went edge, defensive tackle, running back, safety, and then we come back and get another edge and another defensive tackle, just loading up on defense. But let's go through and talk about each one of these guys. Tyler Davis, defensive tackle. Oh, I got the wrong school there. He's out of Clemson. Tyler Davis out of Clemson. Let me take that down and I'll fix it right now. But Tyler Davis out of Clemson is, talk about him a little bit while I fix this. He's basically a run stopper deluxe.
Yeah. That's how they describe him. But, you know, some of the other characteristics that we've been talking about, one of the team captains, right? Clemson team captain. So one of the captains, you know, high marks for leadership, stout in the middle, developing his pass rushing capacities. But, you know, really good run stopper, can play all three spots. Some say he's limited in terms of just, you know, really quick and short areas. But, you know, long speed is pretty, you know, like in terms of going after the quarterback is somewhat limited. Pass rushing repertoire is somewhat limited. But listen, he's got the basics down. He's got the leadership qualities that the Rams prioritize. And he's also good against the run. Everything else can develop over time.
If I get back to this slide, I got it fixed there for you. And then we got Joshua Cardi. And we had gone back and forth. I think you were against drafting a kicker. And I think Tom was kind of on the fence about it. Yeah. I early on had been arguing for a kicker. And I just tell you, you know, say what you want about drafting a kicker. This feeling of calm overcame me when the Rams made that selection.
Yeah.
It's because this guy's, you know, he's consistent. He's got a big leg. He's got a high arc. I don't think there's any doubt that he can be successful in the NFL. Hey, you know, he's still got to prove it. Still got to kick in the clutch, click in bad weather, all those other things. But I don't know. I'm not opposed to this selection at all. You probably are. Am I?
Hey, listen, look, as long as they don't take a punter in round four? I think we're okay. So, knock at taking a punter around four, the kid from Iowa, I'm sure he's plenty fantastic. But, you know, Cardi is considered the best kicker in the class. He can boom it legitimately from 50 plus, good accuracy all around. The bottom line with all the college kickers is that when you go the transition to the NFL, you got to do it in the clutch moments. That's that defining sort of characteristic. You have to be clutch in the NFL.
Oh, by the way, as we're recording this, your two of your guys, Taj Washington and James Williams, have been drafted. You probably
saw Devonshire.
That.
And Devonshire also.
Right. Yeah, guys we really liked. Now, Whittington, we talked about him a little bit, and I was not really that familiar with him, but the take on him appears to be his teammates love him, and the reason they love him is he'll do anything to help his team. If that's blocking, if that's tough catches over the middle, he does the dirty work.
Former running back, he brings that physicality, the physicality that we've been talking about for a long time to the as a wide receiver.
Yeah, and I didn't include it here, but let me get the numbers on him. You know, you talk about the size of Cooper Kupp and the size of Puka Nacua, and there's Jordan Whittington, 6 feet one, 205 pounds, right in that wheelhouse of the new Ram wide receiver model. That can, and these guys can block. They're pretty good with the ball in their hands and outstanding teammates. And I think Whittington fits that perfectly. So, hey, sixth round, if this guy can come in and make the team, you know, it's going to be a competitive wide receiver room. You know, we still don't know what's going on with Tutu because Tutu's the one guy that doesn't fit that model. But we'll have to see.
So I'm so glad you brought up Tutu. So after they drafted our buddy Cam Kitchens, so Cam, they have a live feed, Cam from his phone, wherever he was. Guess who's on the call with him, on the video feed? Tutu.
Oh yeah, they were high school teammates. Is that right?
Tutu was his high school quarterback, and they're like sort of best friends. So I guess Tutu's going to be staying with us for a while. He's not going anywhere. And I mean, Cam Cam was smiling from ear to ear. Tutu was smiling. And this might light a fire under Tutu, right? And this is exactly what we're talking about. And the example I want to cite is when everything happened with Fisk. And everybody was saying, oh, they gave up too much. Not, I would say, about the very next, I would say within a couple of hours, a video segment comes out about Verse and how happy he was that Fisk was going to be there. But even more importantly, they had the call from Snead, and he told him, you know, he's going to get drafted by the Rams. You don't want to know what Fisk's response was? You mean I'm going to be playing with Jared again?
Right.
And he's ready. He's almost jumping off the couch. And that's exactly what we're talking about. So this example with Kitchens and Tutu, this example with Verse and Fisk, these guys want to play together. That, you know, they respect one another. Verse's comments about Fisk, I've never met anybody I could actually say this about, but he works as hard as I do. Right.
Yeah.
That compliment alone shows you why these two guys respect one another. And don't forget, Fisk played with Marshawn Nealon, a very, very respected prospect in this year's draft.
Snead mentioned Western Michigan.
Yeah. So, you know, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the Rams knowing this and making the right move, even though people say they gave up too much. But what is the cost of having your number one draft pick, right, who's literally, you know, jumping out of his shoes, and now your next draft pick, right, who's jumping out of his shoes because they get to play with each other, right, on the same team. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's definitely worth it. That psyche aspect of it, you know, developing that will to win, you know, that's, you know, you can't put a price tag on that. And that was the right move. So if they had to pay a little bit more, so what? So be it. But these two guys are ecstatic. The Kitchens move, I mean, I definitely was probably purposeful knowing that Tutu had that background. So, and he's a great player as well. Once again, throwing, you know, he had a horrible combine. And, you know, we had talked about it when we were talking about prospects. They threw those combine numbers out the window. They said, listen, you throw on the tape, this kid plays. This kid plays hard, and he hits like a ton of bricks, and he makes, he gets those turnovers. You know, he gets those INTs, and he loves to tackle. So the physicality aspect, you know, everything about this kid to them said he belongs on the team.
Yeah, so,
and that is the theme.
And Lewis Reddick, I don't know if you caught his response to the Rams drafting Kitchens. He said he's a future Pro Bowler. So there you have it.
Hey, yeah, Tom, a lot Kortz, of people say that.
Yeah, Tom Kortz joining us. What's going on, Tom?
Oh, hey, guys. Let me try to get my headset in here 1 second.
Yeah, so now let's talk about Bo Limmer, interior offensive line. And I think I had been arguing more than anybody on the roundtable group for depth on the interior. I think this is a solid pick just for that reason alone. I obviously, you know, hey, the Rams can evaluate all these interior offensive linemen and they figure out who fits best, but we needed a body there for sure. And Limmer seems like he's got a lot of starts in the SEC. And so far, by the way, he's our only SEC guy. How do you feel about the Limmer pick? We talked about him a little bit, right?
Yeah, I went back and I checked. We actually had him in one of our mocks. I checked his ADP. He was coming in at 155, between 155 and 165 when we picked him. That was about a month ago. So, you know, the fact that they got him at 217, that is just exceptional value. An SEC interior lineman, Mark, is there any downside to that?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Right? So, and he could fill in three positions.
Yeah, I wanted to, before we moved on, I should have mentioned drafting Whittington. Hey, Tom's back on.
Hey, guys.
Hey, so let's look at this wide receiver room for a little bit. You know, we got three guys that we know are going to be there for sure, Puka, Kupp, and DeMarcus Robinson. Now, injuries can always happen. I get it. After that, we have Tutu, Tyler Johnson, Ben Skowronek. And you throw in Jordan Whittington. Am I missing anybody? It's going to be a pretty competitive room. If everybody stays healthy, you know, maybe we carry seven wide receivers. But very, very possible someone's going to be on the outs. So we'll see, you know, Whittington, it seems like they drafted him with a purpose. You know, he fits that model. And, you know,
what do you think about this? We were talking about returning kicks. The kid is a former running back.
Right.
Kid is tough as nails. Right. So this being his redshirt year, right? How perfect would that be if he can handle those duties as he's developing and working with Coach Yarber?
Hey, Tom, you missed our discussion about Cardi. You were not opposed to drafting a kicker. Is that a true statement?
Yeah, I wasn't opposed to it. I mean, there were some good ones this year, right? There's some of the, you know, better, you know, one of the better kicker class, Reichard and Cardi and the kid from Arkansas. So, yeah, they kind of went all in a big bunch there within 10 picks. And then I haven't really looked in the seventh round, but I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I was telling Paul that I just know I was overcome by the sense of calm when they drafted Cardi. One less thing to stress about, hopefully. Hey, Scott's joining. Hey, Scott, what's going on?
Hey there.
Yeah, we just been bouncing through these later picks, and we talked a little bit about Tyler Davis, Joshua Cardi, the wide receiver, Whittington, and Rams are about to pick. There are a few picks off. The 49ers are on the clock as we're speaking. So, Tom, are there any picks that you kind of not feeling real strong about, or...
No, I mean, I like Davis. He's a big body guy, you know, good against the run, not anything, just the reason he drops is because he's just not, and, you know, cannot get to the quarterback at all. And so, you know, for us, it's that kind of A'shaun Robinson position that Bobby Brown's been kind of filling in at. And we're early down where they're in more of a, you know, seven man front, I guess. You know, on rundowns, it's, you know, that's what they classically played. And then they go to their nickel. So anyway, so he, you know, Brown, I think, is a free agent this year, if I'm not mistaken, after this year. And so I think that's what they're doing. They're just drafting their next kind of nose tackle to play the run. Best case scenario, if he pans out.
I was just going to get back to Brandon Jackson since you guys missed it. If I remember, Scott, weren't you a big fan of his?
Yes. Yeah, very big. I think we picked him in our mock 12, I think we did.
Yeah, and what I was telling Paul before you guys joined is that this is just another indication of the Rams just picking, you know, serious football players. And he, just like the first three picks, this is – our first four picks, and here's another guy that just wants to come in and play football, and I think he's going to get it done for us. So let's see. Let's move back to these sixth-round picks, Tyler Davis, Joshua Cardi. Scott, do you have an opinion on Jordan Whittington?
No, I've been doing a little research on him this past hour. I got a gut feeling he may kind of fill a role the way Skowronek did, came in, was about fourth wide receiver, was more of a special teamer, kind of a specialty guy on offensive sub packages. So that's my gut feeling. He is good with the ball in his hand, so maybe they may try him as a returner on kickoffs possibly.
Yeah, that was Paul's guess too. That's exactly what Paul thought might happen. And he's a really good blocker, just a great teammate. You know, all those great things they said about day one and day two picks. Hey, who was it that told me? This is kind of bothering me a little bit. Did someone tell me that Joshua Cardi is a big 49er fan? Did I hear that somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's, we put an end to that.
At his interview, that's what he said.
Oh, geez. I wonder what that's like. You know, I can't imagine, you know, if I was have to suit up in a 49er uniform and kick a game winning field goal against the Rams, I may just purposely shank it and walk off the field. I'm done. Yeah. My work here is done.
going back, yeah, there are a lot of guys like that. Going back to Whittington, I mean, this is a guy who was a five-star recruit out of Texas. He had offers to go to a lot of places. He ended up staying in this home state. He never really fulfilled his potential at Texas, and he's had some injuries and so forth. But, you know, very kind of reminiscent of who's our sixth round running back draft pick last year?
Zach Evans.
Yeah, same thing. He was a highly touted running back prospect out of Texas, and just never really panned out in college. And so, you know, very similar model there. But Whittington, I had posted earlier on the on X that the I read that he broke the state rushing record in the state championship game. And the guy's record who he broke was Eric Dickerson. So
that's right.
It's like pretty crazy stuff. And then you have like Corum, who was, you know, whose dad played for the Rams apparently at one point. And so you get these guys, it's just uncanny how there's these little linkages to the Rams. It's with the, yeah, the two guys that are
and
their Kitchens
played football with Tutu with the quarterback.
Oh, right. Yeah, Tutu. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So and all these linkages, small world.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And Blake Corum's first youth football team was the Rams as well.
Was the Rams. Yeah, in his interview.
Yeah. I love it.
And, so, and for those of you, Ram Nation, take a look at Whittington. Look at the work he does on screens. Not just blocking, but when he gets the ball in his hands, he goes into running back mode. He is just absolutely wicked on those screens.
Hey,
those quick hitters.
Sorry to interrupt, but the Chargers are on the clock. The Rams are on deck. And a good time to have this up on the screen. I tried to map needs. I could have put – we talked about this yesterday. I could have every position up here. I don't have offensive tackle. I don't have cornerback. Yeah. Whoa, we lost someone.
That was me.
But
my apologies.
But, yeah. But the Rams. What do you think, Paul? What are the Rams going to do with this last pick? They're on the clock right now.
Oh my gosh, they can go in any direction. Let me think.
I don't know what's available as a problem, but you know, a tight end or tackle would be a good option, I think.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Linebacker even.
Yeah, right.
Linebacker tends to have a lot of value in the latter part of this particular draft. By the way, the Chargers took Rice. Tom and I were texting back and forth, but so the Chargers took Rice.
Oh, okay. Well, good for him. Yeah. I know they should. That must be so painful sitting surrounded by your family waiting for your name to get called, and it's the seventh round. And well, but yeah, we'll see. That pick will pop up here in a second. But I tried to map, you know, what the Rams have done, and this kind of captures everything they've done so far with one pick remaining. And you know, hey, we knew they were going to, our mock drafts, we kind of, it became evident that we had to go defensive line, double dipping, and maybe even on the edge too. And that's what they did. It kind of followed suit, I think, to what we expected, except maybe a lot of people thought they were going to draft a linebacker, an offensive tackle. And I thought they'd draft a linebacker, and with the tight end situation is still a little bit troubling. Is there an area that you think they should have addressed earlier, Scott?
I thought they could have. I thought there was a good chance they might go linebacker in the sixth round, but, you know, I'm not too sure what direction they were going. So I was hoping for either linebacker or cornerback, you know, a 6 foot or taller cornerback is what I was looking for.
Yeah, I have a feeling they're going to go corner now.
Cornerback. It'd be nice if Davenport was there.
You know what was interesting? I thought the Rams were going to definitely trade back from that 99 because that 99 was such a late third. I thought they would have just moved back into the fourth and maybe try to pick up another pick. So it was interesting.
Actually,
that was like the only one area that I thought.
I just realized that your guy, according to CBS Sports, Dwight McLeathern, the cornerback that you like, Scott, was still available. Gabriel Murphy, I don't think we're going third edge. And then Leonard Taylor, defensive lineman. I don't think we're going three defensive linemen, though.
I like Josh Porter. I like that safety. He has an interesting profile. And if we could, yeah, I liked him early in this. I liked him in the sixth.
Is that Proctor or?
Josh Proctor from Ohio State.
Josh Proctor?
Yeah, Josh Proctor, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Doesn't he remind you of Fuller a little bit?
Yeah. I like. Yeah, he has a good profile. He has some upside. We'll see what happens. But that's who. I like that James Williams, but he got. I think the Titans took him. But anyway, Scott, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Scott made a good point yesterday in that the Rams have a lot of. They don't have a lot of cornerbacks on contract beyond 2 years out. So that would be an argument for drafting a cornerback and locking them up for 3 years or something. But this is our draft class so far. I got Tyler Davis's name school wrong on this slide as well. I fixed it on the other. He's out of Clemson. But heavy on the defense, especially early. Pretty good draft class, right? Can't complain. Paul, you missed our grading session yesterday, right? How would you grade out the going back to rounds one and two? How would you give grades to for the Corum versus Fisk and Kinchin selections?
Oh, I think because of the whole verse Fisk combo, I would have to give them an A. Getting verse at like I said. Getting verse at the, 19 without having to pull off any trade or give up any draft capital, I just think that's like beyond a best case scenario. So for sure. And getting the two to play together, being able to get Fisk and verse play together and just seeing their reactions before Tom and Scott were able to log on, I was sharing with Mark the reaction when they told Fisk that he was coming to the Rams. And his reaction was, I get to play with Jared again. And I'm just like, dude, That's exactly what you want to hear, man. These two guys, and Jared, when they told him that Fisk was coming, they actually wanted a verse to make the call, and he got stuck in traffic. Poor guy, he got stuck in traffic. So Les Snead had to make the call, but they were going to have Verse make the call. But little things like that, I think, make a difference. They really do, and they make a difference. And these two guys wanting to play together, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. And Blake Corum, I'm all in on Blake Corum. Tom and Scott, I was just sharing that. What, you know, at his interview, he was already talking about winning a Super Bowl. He's not even physically, he hasn't even reported yet, and he's talking about winning a Super Bowl with the Rams. That's the kind of kid you're getting. And, you know, that's the kind of engine that he has driving his machine. And but just think about that. When Kyren's on the sideline, there's no drop-off. And, Mark, remember when we did our last mock, when we were talking about running backs and why I wanted to draft a running back, is that one thing stood out to me is that every time Kyren wasn't on the field, you saw that drop-off. And no knock against the other running backs, but you definitely saw the drop-off in the offense. Now, Blake, although he's a different type of running back, that's exactly the difference now. There's no drop-off. It's an extension of that running game. It's just going to be even more lethal. So, you know, I like Blake Corum. Listen, he's proven it at the highest level. National championship at Michigan. You know, power running game they had going down there. And, you know, he was a big part of that. So, and listen, the work he did in the red zone, just absolutely bananas, the numbers he threw up in terms of rushing touchdowns. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Our pick is in for our final pick.
Yeah,
KT Levinson from another guard from Kansas State.
Oh, from Kansas State. Okay.
They show him on CBS Sports as a tackle. You see him as a guard. He's 6'5".
I see him on ESPN as a guard, but I like those guys that are swing guards, the bigger guys, you know.
Yeah, I already added him. I was poking around on this slide here. KT Leviston, offensive tackle out of KSU. Paul, you got any inside information on this guy?
I got to say, that's one that stumped me. So I'm going to have to go into the database right now and take a look. KT Leviston, all right.
Yeah. Well, they did go offensive tackle event. You know, it was a little surprising to me. I really like Mel Kiper. He's one of the more entertaining guys. I know he knows his stuff, but I'm not going to compare him to other analysts. But I swear for the last 3 days, he's had cornerback and offensive tackle as the two needs for the Rams. And I didn't quite get it. I mean, yeah, you need everything, but I certainly wouldn't list those as the top two needs. But so we're done here. We got four players on the offensive side, five players on the defensive side. I think the front end of the draft was obviously defense. And then we got our kicker, and I feel really good about that. But so any, Scott, any final words on the draft, how the whole thing went down, and how do you feel about this draft class?
Well, coming in a little bit understaffed on the front seven defensively. I got to give him an A-. I mean, other than not getting another inside backer, I thought getting two edges and two inside guys, I think is awesome. Verse and Fisk together as teammates, I can just foresee a lot of,
You mean like a stunt? Stunt and twist?
I can't wait to see those two stunt against some of the NFC West teams. I can't wait for that.
Yeah, you know, you go into this draft we know a lot of national writers don't get it, but we knew what the Rams needed, and they went out and got it. So, Tom, what's your gut feeling about this entire draft class?
I love it. I love this draft class. I love the maturity. They went for older guys that are, you know, who's the guy? He already has an MBA. Another guy, Corum
Brennan Jackson has the
Brennan NBA. Jackson. I mean, they're all these guys are just mature guys who have had a little bit of adversity, whether it be, injuries that they've just persevered through or, you know, smaller schools that, you know, like Burse and Fisk. And then they came up to, to bigger schools. I mean, it's just, they're looking, it seems like they're really intentional about the profile of the player and not just the profile of the person and not just the profile of the athlete. And it's really interesting. I think it's, the Rams have always been a little bit on the cutting edge of this kind of thing. And analytically and so forth, they may be onto something. I mean, I think they historically liked the Senior Bowl players, but now it seems like they're almost taking it to another level.
Yeah. You want an illustrative example? So remember last year, everybody was talking about Monster Zero and how he worked at Dollar General before he got drafted?
Yeah.
So when they were interviewing Jeff, you know, you got to love this kid Verse, man. He's so honest and so real in his discussions, right? So, and they were talking and he was sharing about like his mental makeup and they were asking about that. And he was like, he's like, I never had anything given to me. I had to earn everything. And he says, when I was at Albany, I was doing DoorDash and working with for Amazon. And I immediately thought about Monster Zero when they were talking about Dollar General. I said, there you go. And just like what Tom was saying, that profile, right? And you could just see that illustrative example right there. Bingo. These older players.
Right. And of all of, most, and that's one of the reasons I think that a lot of these first round guys that are just these elite athletes, five star out of high school, go to a big college, have all these accolades. And now, especially NIL isn't going to make things any better, right? Now they're going to be rich also. And they're going to have everything, you know, just kind of handed everything. They just, their whole lives, they have had everything just come to them easy. And you get to the NFL and it is a, you know, it can be, I think that's why there's a lot of busts and a lot of these guys don't have their head on straight. They're not starters anymore. The coach isn't talking to them. And next thing you know, they're not studying the playbook because why should I, if they don't care about me, why am I going to care about them? And then bam, somebody goes down in week 8 and they get their number gets called and they don't know what the hell they're doing. And they, now all of a sudden the coaches are like, oh, this guy, he can't even play. He doesn't even know the playbook. He said, you know, and so I don't know. I think we got to remember these guys are young, like 21, 22 years old. And it's smart to get guys that have proven maturity. You, especially guys, when you're in a competitive environment, you have to prepare to be a backup. You have to be you're a backup and you have to prepare and so forth. Look at Corum. Right. I mean, Corum won the Big Ten's version of Man of the Year. They gave it to one male athlete and one female athlete across all sports in the Big Ten. One guy gets it and one woman gets it. And he won it. That's crazy, right? I mean, these are guys, you know, I forgot the name. It's not called Man of the Year, but it's their version of it. And he has a real estate company. He's already has a real estate investment company. I mean, these are just super strong, mature people.
Yeah, I think he does a lot of charity work already, you know, handing out
charity work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's handing out turkeys the day after he, can't play in the Ohio State game or something. I don't know. It was, it was crazy.
Yeah. Field Yates, you guys, I think you guys were on Tom and Scott yet. And I talked to Paul a little bit about, I think it was Field Yates that said, commented on the Rams. And he said, some of these teams, they look at the measurables, they look at the tape over and over again. They look at the combine and they find little flaws and little things that they're concerned about, and the Rams just look for mature football players. And if they look at the tape, you can play football and you're a serious guy, we're going to draft you, and it's working.
It's like my dad used to say, he says, look, I'm going to treat you like a man. Don't embarrass yourself. And that's exactly right. Bring in these guys that have that sort of mental makeup. Treat them accordingly and, you know, watch them rise to the occasion. I think it's a great philosophy. And I think more teams should really take a look at that.
Okay. Before we wrap this up, you know, the Rams are going to sign a bunch of undrafted free agents.
Yeah.
What is the one biggest concern moving forward for this team? I'll start with you, Scott.
I think getting a cornerback with length that if Witherspoon doesn't come back, I think they need to get a cornerback in the 6'1", 6'2" range.
Okay.
Put in that room.
How about you, Tom?
Yeah, I wanted to see linebacker and safety. I mean, there's a couple of we drafted Kitchens, obviously, but we still need some depth there. Still not happy with our depth there. And I mean, I don't even really, Quentin Lake, we all like, but I don't really view him as a traditional safety. He's really more of like that
star slot.
Yeah, that star, that kind of that star that Ramsey played and so forth.
I think that's what Kinchin pick does for us, though. We talked about it yesterday a little bit. It alleviates that concern to some degree. We can leave Quentin Lake where he is, hopefully. But yeah,
well, Lake has really excelled in the star role,
right?
So we can leave him there. And Kitchen, I know, I agree. Kitchen goes back and plays, plays the ball hawk safety, which he's really good at. But we just don't have any depth after him, and I just don't think Rush Yeast provides that. And that's really all there is. We don't know what the other guy that we drafted
Jason Taylor,
can do, right? He didn't really get on the field. So I think we can get safety and linebacker the two positions for me that we really can load up on. And you know, when people have a chance to get on the field, and those happen to be very good special teams players, you know, as well, usually. And so when guys have a chance to get on the field, as these UDFAs, then that typically is attractive to them. They like to go to teams that, you know, they offer them a little bit of money, but more than anything, give them a chance to play when the depth chart is a little light.
How about you, Paul? What's your biggest concern moving forward with this draft behind us now?
Yeah, I'd probably a couple of ways they could go. A little bit more O-line depth, definitely another D-back, particularly a corner and a linebacker. I'm just looking at the – I already got my UDFA tracker going, and there's some really nice names on here. Whether or not they'll wind up with the Rams is a different story, but there's some really nice names on here. Jalen Coker, the sleeper wide receiver, he's on here.
Oh,
Blake Watson.
Drafted.
Yeah, Gabe Hall is on here. So it's interesting. So I think it's going to be fun, but that's just another part of the process. The Rams do a nice job of signing UDFAs, and we'll see who they grab. And then you got phase two and phase three of free agency right around the corner. Before we sign off, I just want to give a couple of quick shout outs. Players that we've been talking about for probably 2 months now, whether it was through the Puka picks or through the mock drafts. So congratulations to the kid Stiggers, the one we were talking about from the CFL. He got picked up by the Jets round 5. We know his story for those of you that haven't had. He went through a tough time, and talk about making a great comeback. What a quality kid. And, you know, shout out to him and his family. All the best. Two Long Island kids, Dylan Lauby and Matt Gonzalez. Gonzalez went in the 3rd round to Indy. Pick number 79, and Dylan Lauby right here from West Hampton. He went to the Raiders, round 6, 208. Congratulations to them representing Strong Island. Mad Max Melton from Rutgers. He went can't believe we got to play against him, Mark. He went to Arizona, round 3, from New Jersey, representing the Scarlet Knights, and one of my personal favorites, Adisa Isaac. He went to the Ravens, round 3. Pick 93, representing NYC, Brooklyn, Queens. Like we were talk about a great story. Works with special needs children when he was at Penn State. That was his job. He volunteered, and I mean, it was part of his internship as well. He worked with special needs kids. He comes from a family background. A couple of his siblings have special needs. Just a quality kid all around. He was the player that was designated when there was a player that was having trouble adjusting to the team or whatever was the regimen or working with coaches. They asked him to sort of like serve as a mentor. So quality kid, and congratulations to him. So a couple of shout outs from everybody here at Rams Up.
Yeah, and I think we need to give a shout out to ourselves, man. On our mock drafts, we did really well. There's a lot of guys that we that we nailed, that we mocked to the Rams at one point or another. And I think we got the flow down. I think we came to a consensus. It was going to be something like edge and defensive tackle and another defensive tackle and a safety. Maybe I don't think we were really on a running back that early, but we didn't nail it perfectly. But I think we had a pretty good pulse of what the Rams should do and did do. So, and I'm going to agree with whoever it was that said, I think I've been a little bit greedy, but I would just love for the Rams to add a dynamic linebacker at some point. We have another dynamic linebacker. Seems like we're always stuck with one dynamic linebacker and then two or three other guys that can kind of get it done, you know, not to besmirch Christian Roseboom and the Troy Readers of the world. You know, they play hard-nosed football, but, you know, I would just like to have a pair of linebackers back there at some point.
Yeah, if it weren't for Bobby and Ernest last year, or the year before last, we would have, things would have been pretty rough, right? I mean, those guys really held down the fort for us.
Yeah, right.
Hey, I, you know, one thing that was glaringly missing from this draft is cornerback, right? And, but... You know, I think the Rams may have learned their lesson, especially Snead and McVay as a team. Like, has Snead and McVay ever, during the McVay era here, have they ever drafted a quality
quarter?
They haven't drafted one. Like, I went back and looked. I mean, David Long, is that the best corner they've drafted?
And I think they drafted him. Didn't they draft him in like the third round or something like that? He was pretty high.
I mean, there's been a lot of guys that have been drafted early, but
panned out.
They have not. They're just. I think cornerbacks are. They're just not good at it, and they're just like, let's go get just free agents. I mean, certain position groups where they're just saying, you know, we're going to get free agents and screw it. And that's one of them. And because when we rely on drafting, you know, Kobe Durant and Trey Tomlinson and Garian Kendrick and, you know, the list goes on, right? Who was the, you know, you can name probably eight guys they've drafted that are just have not been good. And
so you think Witherspoon spoiled them? Is that what you say? Probably the Witherspoon experience, right?
Right. It's just like, hey, we can go get these guys on the street, and you know, for you know, 10 million or whatever, 5 to 10 million or less. I mean, just do that, you know, versus deal with these guys and just, you know, apparently, I don't know, for them, the tape just doesn't translate. And I think cornerbacks are one of the position groups that are the hardest, or they have the least, the worst hit rate. I don't know however you want to say it. That may mean that they're the hardest to assess going from college to the pros, but I think they have the highest bust rate for early draft picks, defensive backs do. So, yeah, I think that's really interesting. And now obviously they're aware of their poor performance at drafting cornerbacks, and they just stayed away. They're just, why are we going to do that again? You know?
Well, and yeah, plus so, they signed two cornerback free agents. So.
Well, no, I think they decided that before the draft, right? They decided they decided to go sign guys and then not draft anyone. And whereas with like defensive linemen and so forth, they're pretty good at it, right? So you know, the trenches, let's draft trenches and you know, leave the other stuff for free agency. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Let's close with one last question, and I'll go first on this one. What was the biggest surprise? And the biggest surprise to me was Corum, and I'm not opposed to it, but I just didn't think they'd go running back that early. And surprise 1B, if I'm doing my math here correctly, we drafted four players from the ACC, which surprised me. Miami's in the ACC, is that correct?
No.
So we
Clemson.
Clemson, two Florida State, and a Miami.
So yeah, Miami. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. ACC led the pack. What was your biggest surprise, Scott?
Well, I think it was Corum, not because of the position, because of the player. I just didn't follow him at all, but I'm okay with the pick.
Yeah, I kind of disregard. Yeah, I kind of disregarded him because I just didn't think the Rams were going to go run. I figured he was going to be a third roundish type guy, and the Rams wouldn't draft a running back that early. Tom, what was your biggest surprise?
We're all going to say Corum. Yeah, we're all going to say Corum. We didn't think they were going to draft a guy that early. And, and also because he's such a big name, won the national championship, just a very, scored all those touchdowns, just a very prominent figure in terms of popularity and notoriety and so forth. And, and so his name was very, just everybody's aware of him. So when it came across the wire, it was like, whoa, what? So it was more of a shock value. But like I said, like I told you guys on the text stream, once I slept on it, I kind of thought back to what Paul had said, which was, hey, if they draft a guy early, that'll commit McVay to the run because he has no excuse now, right? You can't say, and we all want to see him commit to the run. I think he is committed to the run. I think, and I think Corum and Kyren will be a good duo.
Yeah, my my special assistant texted me. He may have stole this from someone, but he said, if you squint real hard when you're watching Corum, you'll see Kyren Williams. So Paul, I want your surprise of the draft, and you have to go somewhere besides Corum. What was your second biggest surprise?
Oh, the biggest surprise of the draft was that Verse was available at 19. I don't know. I don't know what NFL teams are looking at that kid was available at 19. I mean, I'll be hard pressed for somebody to tell me there were 18 players better than Jared Verse. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I remember way back then when we were doing our mocks, you said Verse was your favorite edge rusher. Although I think you said maybe Dallas Turner, but we were discounting him, his availability. And most of the mocks, it was Verse was gone. Let's take Latu. That's kind of how it went down.
Yeah, he never got past 13. And, we said, my rationale was simple. Like, name another strong side rusher in this draft besides Latu. It was Latu and Verse. That were pretty much it, on that side, at that level that we were talking about. So,
If I had done more homework on the personality and the individual, which I just don't have time to dive into all these players in that regard, I might have suspected the Rams were going to do everything they could to get a guy like that.
And I love the smoke screen when everything came out, the Rams were just trying to like draw everybody away from their actual pick. I just thought that was awesome.
You mean flying out to see Chop? Was that part of it?
Yeah, they said all that. Everything that they did was actually all part of that equation. So I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah. And that's why I wonder how true some of those rumors going around about Brock Bowers, how true they were. We'll never know. Well, maybe we will, but I just find it hard to believe that the Rams would let that out to anyone.
Yeah.
But okay, guys, thanks a lot. Good stuff, man. Good draft for the Rams. Really happy with this draft group. And, take the next step, see what undrafted free agents we can add. And we'll have another talk. I'll sync up with you guys Monday or Tuesday night. We'll get at it again and maybe look at the depth chart. See who's what Rams, current Rams jobs might be at risk, be a lot of fun. Thanks for joining. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
And now we can tell, for those of you that don't know, Ian is actually in the backyard practicing kicks because we weren't sure if the Rams are going to take a kicker. So we can bring him back in now.
Yeah, I think Ian might have been at the draft party.
Nice.
Yeah, so I completely understand him not joining. I know weekends are tough for him. That's why we have the round table during the week. But okay, guys, thanks a lot. Appreciate it out here.
Thanks, guys. Bye bye.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.